Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre. Hi, diddly-dee.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 75 and the first episode of 2026 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thanks to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre in the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx-born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast,
I chat with the Douglas Choral Union's leading men, Simon Fletcher and Damien Neal, ahead of their production of Guys and Dolls, which runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Saturday the 21st to Saturday the 28th of February 2026. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcasts, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a five-star review, and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also makes it more available for other listeners to find. It's been an eventful couple of months since our last episode, and there's been at least three new show announcements and two casting announcements. First up, over the weekend of the 21st November, Two Feathers Productions held their auditions for their July 2026 production of Come From Away. 36 people signed up for auditions to fill the 12 parts. After much deliberation and juggling about, the cast was announced as follows. Lisa Dancox will be playing Beulah. Lauren Molyneux will be playing Beverly Bass. Bryony Grant will be playing Bonnie. Sue Tumman will be playing Diane. Danielle Brighton will be playing Hannah. Catherine Toohey will be playing Janice. Alex Toohey will be playing Claude. Nick Kane will be playing Nick. Charlie Williams will be playing Bob. Jack Divers, Kevin T. Myself, I'll be playing Oz. And introducing Aloysius Magaman Jones as Kevin J. Each cast member plays at least two or three parts and rarely get to leave the stage. Come From Away is directed by Tara Overfield-Wilkinson, who co-directed Jersey Boys and Little Shop of Horrors, and plays at the Gaiety Theatre from Friday the 10th to Saturday the 18th of July 2026. Stage Door Entertainment announced that they will be producing the Great British Bake Off musical in November this year, and shortly after announced their cast. The celebrity judges, Pam Lee and Phil Hollinghurst, will be played by Christine Wilson and Matt James. The presenters, Kim and Jim, will be played by Joanne Dickinson and Ben Heath. And the contestants are Babs, Olivia Landles, Francesca, Lisa Kreisky, Ben, Damien Neal, Gemma, Georgia Maddox, Izzy, Shay Marsden, Russell, Mike Bonner, Deza, Sean Reaney, and Hassan, Joseph Long. The Great British Bake Off musical will be directed by Daniel Sebastian Gray and runs at the Gaiety Theatre from the 12th to the 14th of November. The Douglas Choral Union have announced that they'll be bringing Saturday Night Fever to the Gaiety stage in February 2027, and the Manx Operatic Society are staging Sister Act in March 2027. We also have Dear Evan Hansen to look forward to in September 2027 from Manx Theatrical Productions, which is the production company of Sarah Holland and Lisa Dancox. So there's already some little lovely little bits there to look forward to next year. Now, away from the island, Samantha Barks will no doubt be busy right now with rehearsals for The Greatest Showman, the musical, in which she plays Charity, the wife of P.T. Barnum. The show runs at the Bristol Hippodrome from the 15th of March to the 10th of May 2026, before presumably moving into the West End. Now, if you've not got your tickets yet for this production, then you're out of luck, as it's already sold out. Matt Overfield is still in Hercules the Musical, which is currently playing at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane, where he's the part of the ensemble and first cover for Hades' henchman Pain and Panic. Joe Hillard can still be seen as Kevin T in Come From Away on Cunard's Queen Elizabeth sailing out of Miami for the next few weeks until the cast changeover in March. Now, there seems to be a rule there that there has to be at least one Manxie on this onboard production, as with the new cast, we'll see Josh Molyneux join and take on the role of Oz, a role I'm getting to know very well. I'll have to see if I can catch up with Josh and have a chat about that with him for a future episode. Also in the last week or so, Christian Cooper has announced that he'll be joining the new UK tour of Annie in the role of Rooster, alongside drag queen Lavoie, who appeared in last year's series of Strictly Come Dancing, and Claire Sweeney, who will be sharing the role of Miss Hannigan. Massive congratulations must go to Manx voice actor and all-round creative powerhouse, Peter Wicks. He's just scooped up two Voice Arts Awards at the iconic Beverly Hills Hilton in Los Angeles. Peter was also nominated for two further categories, with all his nominated work recorded right here on the Isle of Man, proving that world-class talent can thrive on Manx soil. Whether it's voicing pirates, Pokemon, or best-selling audiobooks, Peter is flying the flag for Manx talent across the world. Now, I'll look to do a full roundup of what our Manx-born pros are doing in a couple of episodes' time. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. That's it for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Okay, I'm joined now by the Douglas Choral Union's two leading men from their upcoming production of Guys and Dolls, Simon Fletcher and Damien Neal. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Good evening, Neil.
Welcome back, I should say, because you've both been on before, whether you remember it or not.
No.
I mean, Simon, you were on back in February 2020 with Emily Coates.
So you've just informed me, yes.
For the Douglas Choral Union's production of Sound of Music.
Yes.
Which was probably the only show that year that actually managed to go as planned, because that was literally a month or so before the world changed with COVID. And at that point, COVID was just something that was happening off in China and people getting ill and doing their own about it.
Yep. I think it was lucky enough to be in the last one before lockdown, and then the first show after lockdown. We did Calendar Girls.
Yes.
Not the musical version that was done last year, but just the play.
The play, yeah.
Version of it. And
then Damien, you were on, literally like 2 weeks later, and you were just in a position, I think you'd not long finished at LSMT.
Yeah.
You were just about to head off for the Les Mis tour.
I was. And then 3 months later, it all went...
Went sideways.
Sideways, that's the word.
Yeah. So, before we get on to the reason why we're here for, just give us a little bit of, how the tour went for you. How was that experience?
It was amazing. It was a great experience. Touring around the UK, parts of Europe, and went to Dublin as well. Saw places I'd never thought I'd go to before.
So never heard of.
Never heard of, or probably wouldn't go back.
Yeah.
I won't name the places, just in case I offend anyone. And to be part of that show, part of its history, was incredible, and I was... Luckily enough, started out as a swing, and I covered a couple of...
Like student roles?
Yeah, I covered all the student roles. I managed to tick them all off in my time there.
Wow.
And then covered the bishop and the factory foreman, and then halfway through the tour, I picked up the second cover, Javert, and I did, I think, 6 Javert shows as well. So that was incredible. And then it all ended, and I thought...
Great.
Time to go back, I think.
Yeah.
That was enough for now. So I came back, and then now we've started a family as well. So
yeah,
it's perfect. It was the perfect sign-off. Did a couple of Javert shows in the final venue in Cardiff, and then came back, and then a few months later, we had the news that Noah was going to come along. So, and now I'm back.
Yes.
For good.
Yes. Yeah, so you've had a couple of years out, but now you're back on the stage. It's great to see you back.
And that was mainly down to my darling wife, Georgia. She was like, you need to get back into this.
No, what she means is you need to get out of the house.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You're doing my head in.
Get out, please. So, and with that then, you're here doing Guys and Dolls with the Douglas Choral Union.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been done quite a few times, I think, on the Isle of Man now. I think the last time it was done was about 2006, which was Dick Ray's Creative Leisure, Matt James as Nathan Detroit, I think, and I think Olivia O'Shea, or Olivia Hatt, as she is now, she was Miss Adelaide.
Yeah.
But before that, it was 1998. 98?
That's right, yes.
98. And that was the Douglas Choral Union. And one young Simon Fletcher playing Sky Masterson.
I've seen the pictures as well. Very handsome.
Yes.
They're going to have to do makeup and hair and water. They're going to have to do a lot to me to match that, honestly. I'm going to be the rugged Sky Masterson. I will shave, though.
Yeah. So
28 years later, they'll have to do a lot of makeup on me this time.
Make you a little bit younger. So we'll give us a bit of an idea of the story then. So, Simon, you're playing Nathan this time around.
Yes.
And Damien, you're playing Sky Masterson. So give us a bit of an idea of the story and how your two characters kind of fit in with that story.
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
You can go first, and okay. I will just chip in.
Yeah,
you've done it. This is your second time. You must know what the show is about.
Yeah. So my character Nathan Detroit is a guy who has been engaged to Adelaide for 14 years, and he's been trying to find the right time to actually get married. He loves her.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that he's actually trying to avoid getting married. There's a little bit of that, but I think he genuinely wants to get married to Adelaide. But the time has never been right. He's never had enough money. He organises these dice games anywhere he can find them, and all the gamblers come from all around. to try and to make some money, obviously, and then he takes his little percentage off the top of it. He doesn't actually do too much in the way of gambling. He sort of organises it and takes his little cut off the top. So that's basically, they're the sort of couple who have been together for this length of time.
Yeah.
And in comparison, Sky and Sarah are the couple who meet at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So there's one couple that have been together for a long time and one couple that...
It's an unexpected love, isn't it?
It is. So it takes nicely into you.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much,
Sam. Nice little segue there.
So yeah, I'm playing Sky Masterson, the cool, high-rolling gambler.
Yeah. He'll bet on anything, won't he?
He'll bet on anything. That's his whole life.
And silly money as well.
Silly money, but it's all calculated. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Isn't there a line in the show about him betting on two flights, like $1,000 on two flights to see which one would take off first or something like that?
Something else, your line.
Yeah, not in the show. There was one in the film about betting on two raindrops coming down the window.
But, that was it, yeah.
But this one, it's about whether he likes bets on, you know, which lump of sugar will a fly land on, or how far can you kick a piece of cheesecake, which is where Nathan gets the idea about trying to con Sky, if that's the right word.
That's it. So I meet Nathan Detroit by chance, and I fall for a sucker bet, which leads me on to meet Sarah, Sarah Brown. I am bet that I can't take her to Havana with me, and I take the bet, and it's all about, I end up taking her to Havana, and
unexpectedly
fall in love with her.
Yeah,
it's the last thing he's expecting.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a
it's a job,
woman
it's
in
a
every
bet.
Port. Yeah, you know, there's a great line, isn't there? About, you know, there's only two things.
The two things being in every hotel room in the country.
Yeah,
Sky Masterson
and the Gideon
Bible.
Yeah, so it gives you the idea that he's spent a lot of time on his own.
Yeah,
and any relationship he's probably had has been a very fleeting one.
But essentially, I think the story is two men trying to be sorted out by two women.
Yeah,
I think
in various different ways.
Yes.
I would like. I saw the production at the Bridge Theatre back in 2023 with Marisha Wallace, and it was amazing. And Marry the Man Today with Marisha Wallace was a hell of a performance. Yeah, and that also had Perry O'Day in it.
Yes,
who is choreographing the show?
He is.
Yeah, it's great to have Perry back doing some choreography for the society. Yeah, terrific.
It was a good weekend when he was here. Well, it was a bit more than it was, about a week he was here choreographing the show, and he's back next weekend on the 1st of February. He's back to just take a look at everything again, make sure everything's clean before we head off into the theatre.
Yeah, because we're about 4 weeks away.
Yes.
Opening night, so not to worry you too much there, gents. But
thanks.
But anyway, so your two leading ladies, we've got Evie Skillcorn, who is Sarah Brown.
Yes.
Who, ironically, is also the niece of Jane...
Skillcorn. Jane Corkless, she is now.
Jane Corkless, who played your...
She played Sarah Brown 28 years ago.
Yeah, 28, for you, yes.
Yeah, opposite me, yeah, so...
And then Miss Adelaide is Natalie Smith, who was last year's Mama Morton.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so how are the girls getting on? How are they rising to the occasion?
Well, if the notes from yesterday's rehearsal have anything to go by, they're doing a lot better than us.
Yeah.
And Damo. And Damo.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was like, girls.
Yeah.
I'm out of practice.
Yeah. My crit wasn't too bad last week, but last night it was a good.
So. No, they are doing brilliant. Natalie's been on it from the very start.
Yes, she's very crazy. Keen. I think because she hasn't had maybe the experience over the years as some of the other people, she really has worked very, very hard. Mm-hmm. You can see that. I mean, I came across her sister first.
Yes.
Sophie had done loads of shows.
Yes.
DCU.
And Tony as well.
Yeah.
Dad Tony. Yes.
Yeah, Dad Tony.
West End Tony, yes.
Yeah, West End Tony. So I hadn't sort of seen Natalie until, you know, last couple of years, really. Yeah. But she did a great job, as did Evie. I mean, for somebody so young, I mean, she was superb in Chicago last year. And she's put in her hand to this completely different role.
Yeah.
But equally giving it a terrific portrayal, you know.
Well, let's take this as a perfect time to have a look at the rest of the cast.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
So
I guess we said we've got Damo's playing Sky, Evie's playing Sarah Brown, who is she's the Salvation Army.
Yes.
Yeah, she's the sort of the young protagonist, you know, the one that they try and send out in the streets to encourage people in.
Yes, the very, very straight-laced.
And, yes.
Prim and proper, yes. And then Simon, you're playing Nathan Detroit, the the gambler. And Natalie Smith is Miss Adelaide. So Miss Adelaide is, she's kind of like the, she's the lead performer at the Hotbox
Club. The dance club.
Yeah.
Lead dancer in the Hotbox nightclub. Yeah. So she's the star of the show with all the other dance girls.
Yeah. So some great numbers in there.
Oh, brilliant numbers.
Bushel of the Peck and all
the girls are brilliant in it.
Yeah.
So the rest of the kind of like the gang of guys, I don't, however you want to call them, we've got Nicely Johnson as Jonathan Slight. Now that's a role I always wanted to play. I think at some point there's a Nicely in me.
Yeah. Next time.
Maybe a Nathan. But you know, yeah. Well, actually, unless you've progressed on to play Nathan next time, then.
Well, who knows? It might be Nicely.
Well, yes.
You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he gets the sort of show-stopping song, really.
Oh, yeah, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Yes, so that's a great number.
Yeah. Jonathan's got some pipes on him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's easy for him.
It's an easy
thing.
Doesn't even look like he's trying.
Then you've got Thomas Ian Dixon as Benny Southstreet.
Yes, they're a great little sidekick.
Yes.
Because they do a lot of their stuff together.
They do,
and
yeah.
Again, they've got the title song of the show, Guns and Dolls, is their number. And again, there's great energy in that. The pair of them work off each other very well.
Yeah.
Well, indeed.
And you've got Chris Jacus as Arvide Abernathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark Doherty as Harry the Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's that the laugh for?
All the way from Brooklyn.
Yeah, yes, the accent is fantastic.
Detroit, when's the crap game going to be? Okay.
Oh, yes.
I think he's from the Mafia, really. Yeah, yeah.
I can hear that, yeah. Big Julie is Jeff Pugh.
Yes.
He is big.
He's not as big as he was.
He's
lost a lot of weight as Jeff, but
he's still tall.
He's still very imposing.
Rusty Charlie is Lindsay Smith.
Yes. Then that's a bit of a take on, because Rusty Charlie was a guy last time and is the sort of boss of the Hotbox Club, you know.
Announcer.
And sort of boss there. So, she's sort of Adelaide's boss, if you like.
Gotcha.
But also is part of the gambling guys. know.
Oh, yeah, I'm now realising who that character is. It was, I can't think of her name now. Someone Seacom. Katie Seacom. She played that character in the Bridge Theatre version. So, I now know exactly who that character is. Great.
Okay.
Great. Then on to the Salvation Army. You've got General Matilda B. Cartwright, played by Sarah Brew.
Yeah. So Sarah's very experienced. She's had a lot of shows over the years.
She has, yes. And I've done many shows with Sarah myself.
Indeed.
From way back in the good old days of the late 1990s with the Manx Operatic Society.
Yeah.
And Lieutenant Brannigan is Michael Bonner.
Yeah. Good old Mike, that's the sort of role that suits him down to the ground.
It does, yeah. Banging a big old drum. Then we've got the Hotbox Chicks, which is Jess Sherry, Eve Pazar, Victoria Corkle, Gaynor Denham, Millie Smith, Hannah Williams, Paula Gelling, Madison Finley, and Olivia Sawinski.
Yep, and they're all doing very well. Gaynor, along with myself, are the only surviving members of 28 years ago.
She must have been young.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was very young.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, they do all the big dance numbers and all of the big Hotbox Girls numbers and the Bushel
of the Peck. And they drag the lads through Havana. So
good. That's right. Yeah.
Drag them round the Havana. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, the lads are doing really well, to be fair. I've undersold it there. They are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A great scene.
Then for the rest of the ensemble, we've got Nikki Craig, Jude Fullerton, Christopher Shimmin, Steve Crane, Mark Denton, Vicky Brown, Tracy Erskine, Andy Williams, Jenna Woodward, Stuart McLean, Daniel Carroll Corley, Zach Colligan, Andrew Cacken, Gary Corkle, Mark Britton, Andrew Dighton, and Maura Gwithy.
That's a big cast.
It is. Especially because I'm like, in comparison to Come From Away at the moment, where there's 12 of us, that cast feels huge.
I mean,
if there's one person off, it suddenly feels like there's a huge amount missing from
Paris.
But that feels like an enormous cast.
You don't notice when anyone's
It's nice to have that amount of lads in the crapshooters, gamblers. And equally, you've got the Hotbox Girls. But you need a certain amount still for the Salvation Army.
Yes.
Obviously, Chris Jagus is playing Sarah's uncle.
Yeah.
But he's sort of a granddad type of character, sort of softened.
And then you've got cops and you've got people on the street and all kind of bits and pieces.
There's lots of going on.
Lots of people, very busy.
Typical New York.
Yes.
That hustle and bustle on the street. Yeah.
So looking at the rest of the production team, because we already mentioned that Perry's doing your choreography. So it's being directed again by David Dawson. He's got quite a few DCU shows under his belt now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. This is my first, I think, with him as director, because I wasn't in Chicago. I was in Hunchback, which he directed, but I was only in the choir.
Right, okay.
I think this is just the first one he's directed.
I've been directed by Dawson before. We did Avenue Q where Dorsey directed that, but I don't think I've done a DCU show where he's directed it. But it's been great. It's been a great experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's really, really good. Really big attention to detail.
It is. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. And yeah.
Got great ideas.
Yeah.
Great ideas. Yeah. Yeah.
Musical director, Liz Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reliable.
Very much so. Very much so.
Are you getting the stares?
Occasionally, yeah.
Does she bring out the teacher face?
What happened to the harmonies? They were here last week.
The harmonies are great until you get on your feet and start moving.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody knows.
But that's every show, isn't it? That's every show. And then you've got your assistant director and assistant musical director in Bryony Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's super as well. Really, really good.
Yeah.
And knows her stuff.
And she knows everything.
Mm, she is.
She'll know all the harmony parts.
Yeah,
every step of every dance routine.
Yeah, she knows all the dances. Yeah.
If Liz can't make it for any reason, it's seamless going through with Bryony there.
Brilliant. Guys and Dolls, it's like a nice, it's an old-fashioned show, really, isn't it? So it's more of a revival, because I guess this was originally, what, 50s? Probably the first time it came out. And it was probably quite contemporary then when it came out in the 50s.
Yeah, it probably was. It's like, as they keep saying, it's one of the old, from the golden age of musicals.
Yeah, you know,
it's one of the classic type where everything is nice and clean cut and crisp.
Yeah, and I suppose most people will have seen the film with Frank Sinatra and
Marlon Brando.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd have thought Marlon Brando would be in a musical?
Well, it's quite bizarre, really, because he's not renowned for his singing.
No.
He gets the part that's the singing part. And Sinatra, who was a great singer, gets the non-singing part, really. You know,
he didn't do too bad. No. It wasn't the best, but it was.
Yeah.
It's Marlon Brando, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Les Mis and Russell Crowe, isn't it? So.
Yeah. If it was just a drama and not a musical, well, Russell Crowe would have been perfect.
Yes. we've spoken before on the podcast. We don't really necessarily need to go into the background of how you both got started and how you got involved. And obviously, you've been away and you've trained at LSMT.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, we've often done a little bit of work professionally with the Les Mis tour.
Yep.
But back here on the island again, it must be great to get back into it and get your teeth into it again.
No, it is. It is. It was. I've done. I think it's 3 years now back, or two and a bit years.
Yeah.
And I've kept thinking, maybe I'll do something this year. Maybe I'll do something this year. And then, to be fair, we just had Noah, just had a son. Wanted to enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I have. And now I get out of bedtime routines and baths. It's fantastic. So now. Even when I come to rehearsal, I'm not really used. I'm like, don't worry about it, guys. It's fine.
Do you know,
Georgia, don't listen to this.
Some pictures came up on Facebook the other day on my memories from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers,
which
doesn't feel that long ago. But in the background of this photo, there's this like 12-year-old Damon. he looks so young. I mean, you probably weren't. You were probably about...
I think I was 17.
17,
I think I was 17 or 18, yeah. Oh, that was... probably one of my favourite shows I've ever done over here. Yeah. It was so fun.
That was a lot of fun.
But yeah, it is nice to get back into it. I was a bit rusty to start with. I said to you before, I was like, doing a show now, having the responsibility of being a dad, is completely different than it was. So every time I pick up my script at home, he wants to tear it out of my hands and throw it around or rip it up. So it's been it's been... and then obviously the sleepless nights, but yeah. It's been amazing to come back into it and to do it with DCU, where I started out in Annie as the apple seller, if anyone's interested.
I was there, I remember you, young lad.
Pivotal.
It was. It's nice. It's like a full circle thing. So it's very nice to be back, especially with the DCU.
Simon, how about you? What would you say would be the highlight? I mean, obviously, there's been quite a few shows over the years that you've been involved in.
Yeah.
What would be your highlight of those?
It's so difficult. I mean, not just... DCU shows, I mean, either the Gilbert and Sullivan shows, Taylorian, and it's so difficult to pinpoint. I find it really difficult to narrow it down to even my five favourite roles over the years.
Me and my girl must be up.
That, when I was thinking about it, that although I'd done it twice, that actually, I had that sort of just outside the top five. It's a great show, great fun show, and a great comedy role as the lead. But the whole show is just a great laugh from start to finish. But when you got things like The Producers and Witches of Eastwick, My Fair Lady,
mm-hmm.
King and I,
yeah,
they're just so contrasting. It's so difficult to sort of.
And then you've got Spamalot as well.
Spamalot, great comedy parts.
Lancelot, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have a lot of fun on that show. We had a great bunch of guys as the knights, and there was never a dull night on those rehearsals.
No, it was great fun. Yeah.
since we've, well, obviously we've got these standard questions that we ask all the time. And like I said, and since the last time you've been on, we've added a couple of new questions in. One of which is, if you're allowed to keep one costume or prop from any show that you've been in, what would it be and why?
Okay, that's fine. I'll go.
You've been thinking about it.
I read the questions before we came. Costume and prop, I would have to say, from when I went on as Javert in Les Mis, I'd keep Javert's truncheon.
Yeah.
Definitely. 100%. And costume, I'd keep my student costume because it was beautiful.
Yeah. I still have my truncheon from the Beadle in Sweeney Todd from a couple of years ago.
I've still got my truncheon from being Bill Sykes in Oliver, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'd keep that from Javert and then my student costume because it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful waistcoat. I look at the picture all the time, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Decent budget for costume then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, the wardrobe ladies on the when the tour finished, they took parts of everyone's costumes and put them in a frame.
Oh, wow.
So I've got it on my bedside table.
Right. Oh, that's
very nice. Yeah. So I've got my student waistcoat, bit of fabric from that. I've got my Javert coat. I've got a bit of my Bishop costume. And then what's the last one? I think it's a random one. I think it's one of the gang members' waistcoats as well. But yeah, it's really nice. It was really thoughtful of them.
That's a lovely memento.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
How about you, Simon?
Well, I think probably the Witches of Eastwick, my red pinstripe Beetlejuice type.
Oh, yes.
Was really quite outstanding with hat to match as well.
And that was a great show as well. There was four of you flying at one point as well, or the three girls were flying anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And me sort of choreographing it, supposedly.
Yes. That was Trish.
Trish, Jane Corkle and
Rebecca O'Kell. Yes.
But then the King and I, you know what John Cumberledge was.
Oh, yeah.
No expense spared. Some of the King costumes were just, they were like almost like Dallas type, you know, on the shoulders, but then, you know, trimmed right in. But there was like gold lamé and, you know, obviously the weird stuff they wear on the bottom half.
Yes.
The big baggy, big baggy pants. But the tops were absolutely glorious. You know,
I think some of my favourite costumes are from shows where I've done stuff with John Cumberledge. His attention to detail and just that, you know, he goes in and handpicks every costume. Jekyll and Hyde, some of the costumes, the outfits, the three-piece, four-piece suits that I had for those were just amazing.
Yeah, beautiful.
And wigs, when I had hair.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've still got my juggling things from Barnum. My juggling sticks. So, which I bought myself, actually.
Can you still juggle?
I can juggle still just about with three balls, but not with the... Not with the sticks.
How about the tightrope skills? Are they...
Well, that's something I'd love to have a go at again.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's 25 years.
I know, it's crazy.
I did that show, but yes, that was a challenge. But yeah, I would like to be able to see if I could battle someone there.
Didn't the tightrope pull out of the wall one night?
Yeah, it did. It came out, it was fixed underneath the floor into the sefton,
to
the wall. And there was 3 tons of tension on it, and they hadn't realised how much was required, and it just...
How much Simon weighed.
Somehow it got, when they were pulling it out one night, it got stuck underneath the floor in the actual, in the cellar area. It got stuck, and they couldn't pull it out, and we just had to improvise.
Yeah.
With me kneeling on Simon Spencer's shoulders and going across, sort of balancing on his shoulders, rather than a tightrope, because we just had to think.
Yeah.
It was opening night, and you just... I was so keyed up for the moment, you know, I'm singing at the time as well.
Yes.
And see this rope being pulled across the stage and only getting halfway. I thought, what is it? and you have to think, and I just sort of called Simon. I said, just come here and I'll just, because it was a symbolic thing.
Yeah.
You're getting across.
Yeah, yeah.
To Jane Corkle's character, you know. And, well, that was terrifying. That would be one of those moments that sort of...
Yeah, because the next thing I was going to ask was, is there something that's gone desperately wrong on stage, but you've managed to cover it, so...
Yeah, well, that's sort of... Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You didn't cover it because people would have seen the rope coming across and then...
Yes.
I'm being fed back again.
Is it? Maybe not.
But the other one I was going to say was in The Wizard of Oz, when I was playing the wizard, and then as I was Professor Marvel, it's a double part.
Yes.
Black and white part, then he becomes the wizard, then he goes back to being Professor Marvel. But when he... when he's the wizard and he's taking off in the balloon.
Yes.
Towards the end, I was taken in this balloon and cage and lifted up at the centre of the stage, up above the fly floor, so the audience couldn't see.
Wow.
Or to the fly floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was being, it was on a mechanical thing, so I was tracked across to the fly floor.
Yeah.
And then I had to get out of the cage, get over onto the fly floor, run back downstage, and I had back down the ladders at the back.
Right.
I had to get back into a black and white costume.
Yeah.
And be on stage in about two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got so far across in the cage, we were tracking it over, and then all of a sudden it stopped. And I thought, what's happened here? Nobody sort of knew what had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a gap of about, I don't know, three feet from the actual
fly floor. Yeah.
And it was just one of those things, in the middle of a show.
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
Yeah.
So Sid, my mate, and Ted leant over, pulled the cage towards me, and there was another guy there helping them, the guy who helped to do the revolve.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Wizard of Oz. And I had to stand back in the cage, because if I went forward, it would tip forward. But I had to open the gate of the cage. It opened to me. Then they pulled me towards it, and then Sid and Ted leant over. I had to get edge to it, because it's like between me and the cage. If it dropped, it was just 25-foot, whatever, 30-foot drop. And they held the cage, and hauled me over onto the fly floor, and then I just legged it, and just I didn't even think about it till afterwards, and I thought, oh my god! And I thought, if Graham Bayless had been there, would have been a showstopper.
Yeah, yeah.
And it probably would have stopped the show had it happened in dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
But when the adrenaline's going and you've got an audience, but what can we do? What can we do? How can we get out of this? So that was probably the scariest moment.
Have been bouncing on adrenaline after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
And then I had to come down, black and white, and come on as an old man with a torch looking for Dorothy. And it was like, yeah.
Brilliant. Right. Okay. You know, I think you guys have probably got rehearsals very, very soon. So we probably need to wrap it up.
Wind it up.
Oh. So way, way back in 2020, after the first big lockdown, we started up a Spotify playlist. Now, this is our ultimate musical theatre playlist, and Neil King and I, Neil was my co-presenter at the time, he and I both put 10 songs in just to get it going, because a playlist with two songs is short and rubbish. Yes. And no one's gonna listen to that. So we each put 10 songs in just to get it going. Then every person who's been on the podcast since then has added their own songs in, so we're getting up to quite a big number now.
We are 125.
So that's, I think it's somewhere about 8 hours worth of music now.
That's good.
So it's, it's something that's going to keep you going for an afternoon when you're painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing a bit of decorating at home, stick it on, and away you go. So let's have a look back through the list and see what we've got. So we've got Periodi. He chose Being Alive from Company. Lewis Kelly chose Waving Through Window from Dear Evan Hansen. Ian Dixon chose Who I'd Be from Shrek the Musical. No. Guess which show he was on promoting at that point. David Dawson chose Lost in the Wilderness from Children of Eden. And Mark Doherty chose Father and Son from Falsettos. So some interesting sort of wide and varied songs and shows there.
Mm.
So who wants to go first? Damo, Simon?
I can go.
What's your song, Damo?
You said usually it's one that you've been in or holds a special.
It's one we've performed from a show that we've been in, or just something that means something special to us.
Yeah. So when I was at drama school, for our show, we did a show called Lend Me a Tenor, and I played the...
Tenor,
yeah. I played the opera singer Tito Morelli, and he had a song in the show with Max, which is called Be Yourself. I'll say that in an Italian.
Be Yourself.
Be Yourself. and it's one of my... I'd never heard of the show before we did it. I was like, oh, why have they picked this show? What is this?
Yeah.
So when you, sometimes it happens over here, you go, oh, what's that show? And then you start doing it. It's like, oh, this is amazing. It's like a slapstick comedy of, it's a opera singer who's been hired to come to a failing theater, like to revive it and do an opera. And he meets Max, who he teaches how to sing. And that's the song where he teaches him how to sing. And you realize that Max has this incredible voice. But yeah, give it a listen. It's a beautiful song, and give the soundtrack a listen as well, because it's really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Simon, how about you?
I was just trying to think as I was looking through the list there of all the shows that I have been in, and then for things like Barnum and Me and My Girl and things like that. But one that just sprung to mind, actually, as I was looking through there, was the very first lead role I did,
yeah,
which was 31 years ago, ooh, something like that, and that was Carousel.
Right, okay.
I can't possibly say You'll Never Walk Alone because I'm an Everton.
No.
Although that is a fantastic song.
Yes.
Whenever it's not sung on the cop. but I'd have to go for The Soliloquy because I think that was just incredible. Piece of music, incredible piece of writing.
It's a beast.
It gives all the emotions of the character Billy when he finds out that his wife is pregnant, and he goes off on this sort of
My Boy Bill.
What am I? You know, what am I? And then he suddenly gets halfway through and thinks, "Oh, hang on, what am I singing about My Boy? But it could be a girl."
Yeah.
And he suddenly changes tack, but it's just a clever piece of writing and a great song with a phenomenal finale to it as well. Yeah.
And I think you've done that once or twice in the songs and the shows as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. In the songs and shows at the Guild. Yeah, yeah. I think I managed to win it actually one time with it.
Here he is,
going back a few years. But yeah. I think it's good if you've done a part and you've done a show and that song. I think it lives with you, and yeah. I think you do perform it better in a concert performance.
Or Okay. Two wonderful songs and a nice.
You've not listened to it yet. You might hate it.
And a nice little soundtrack suggestion as well.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I mean, that's the thing I love about this is when people come along and they come out with random songs from shows that I've never heard of. Especially when like you get people who've not long back come back from drama school and they've like been studying a show for their performance like you did. And it's like, I've never heard of this show before. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
And also you get the obscure one like Ian, and he comes in and he had oh, God, I can't think of a name now, but it's like Pierre Louise and the Great Comet of 1812 How obscure. But it's a great album.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, we'll get those added onto the playlist for everyone to listen to. And
mine will count as two, probably, because it's about 8 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I don't want the edited version.
Full version, full unabridged version.
Yep, yep.
No problem. And we'll stick the entire album on for demo just for equal length of time.
Yeah.
Right, okay, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Guys and Dolls runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Saturday the 21st to Saturday the 28th of February with performances nightly at 7:30 p.m. There is a 2:30 p.m. matinee on Sunday the 22nd. No show on the Monday night, so you get a night off.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But there are two shows on Saturday the 28th. And the matinee performance on this day is also the caption performance. If you've not done so already, you can get your tickets now from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Simon, Damo, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. We wish you and everyone at the DCU all the very best for Guys and Dolls.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Right. Let's have a quick look forward at what's currently planned for this year. Now, first up on the 15th of February, now that's next weekend, Manx Family Concerts present Julia Donaldson's Tabbing McTatt at the Kingscote Theatre, with shows at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Tickets are available from ticketsource.co.uk/Manx Family Concerts. Next, as mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's the Douglas Choral Union with Guys and Dolls, running at the Gaiety from Saturday the 21st to Saturday the 28th of February. Tickets are available now from villagaiety.com. Hot on their heels is the Manx National Theatre with Fan Story at the Gaiety Theatre on the 5th and 6th of March. Hopefully I'll be catching up shortly with Chris and Susanna Mabry to chat about that in the next week or so, so keep an eye out for that episode. March is Mad for Month, and we'll see the Festival of One-Act Plays at the Erin Arts Centre from the 11th to the 14th of March, a Play in a Day workshop with Edward Bennett at Ballacamine Studio Theatre on the 14th of March, and the finals of Young Actor of Man also at Ballacamine on the 15th of March. Now, I caught up with Leandro Lola, Lisa Smith and Anthony Lola a couple of days ago to chat about all of this for our next episode, coming shortly. On the 27th of March at the Gaiety Theatre, Lisa Pullman, one third of Fascinating Aida, and British singer, pianist and songwriter Joe Stilgo bring their show Hooray for Hollywood, diving headfirst into the golden age of cinema and bringing those classic songs to life on stage. The show is a celebration of the movie musicals that have shaped their lives, from The Wizard of Oz to West Side Story, Wicked to La La Land, and plenty more in between. On the 18th and 19th of April, there's one for the kids, with a touring production of the West End production of The Tiger That Came to Tea. Shows are at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. on the 18th, and 11 a.m. on the 19th. Tickets available now from villagaiety.com. After the success of their 2025 production of George Orwell's 1984,
The American drama group Europe are back at the Gaiety on the 30th of April with a production of F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby. Now, I'm pretty sure that this is the play and not the musical which played in the West End last year. Then, as I mentioned earlier, in July from the 10th to the 18th, Two Feathers Productions are back for their fourth production with Come From Away, which charts the stories of the locals of Gander, Newfoundland, and the passengers of 38 jumbo jets forced to land there when the US airspace was closed following the terrorist actions on 9/11. In August, Taylorian Productions bring their 20th anniversary production of Cats to the Gaiety from the 5th to the 15th. In September, I think there's possibly a production from Three Legs Productions, but I don't know what or when yet, so more details on that one when I find out. You'll need to dust off your air guitars in October for Rock of Ages, brought to the Gaiety by Centre Stage Productions from the 9th to the 17th of October. Then, bringing a bit of Halloween spookiness to the Gaiety, the Service Players present Dracula from the 5th to the 7th of November. Now, also in November, as mentioned earlier, we have Stage Door Entertainments with the Great British Bake Off musical at the Gaiety from the 12th to the 14th. Now, the Panto is still currently out at tender. There's been no announcement yet as to what it'll be or who will be presenting it, but I'll update you as soon as I know. Well, with that, we bring episode 75 to a close. Thanks once again to Simon and Damien for joining me on the podcast, and we wish them and everyone involved with the Douglas Choral Union's production of Guys and Dolls all the very best for their run. Don't forget, if you've not yet bought your tickets, you can get them from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There are almost 130 tracks on there now and almost 9 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Men actors alive for me.